in Mitzvah Reish Beit Aleph 284, the prohibition not to eat tevel, produce from which the Trumas and Maithras, all the proper tithes, have not yet been separated. And as for your question last time, so why can't you just go appoint the Hashgacha to be your shliach to separate the Trumas and Maithras? So the reason really is,
right,
the reason really is because you don't own it yet. That's the, you can only appoint someone to be a shliach to separate the Trumas and Maithras and stuff that, that you own. So that's not...
It's still a trouble to basically say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give it to the Hashgacha, and then they're going to give it back to me after they, you know, you have some kind of a, you know, little deal.
It's not your shliach. It's not yours.
Oh.
It can't do it. It's impossible for you to make the Hashgacha your shliach to be a separate Trumas and Maizras.
Right.
So therefore, if you don't want to...
You can't give it to them before you separate the Trumas and Maizras, right?
No, you can't. It's owned by the farmer, then it's owned by the merchant.
Yeah.
And the idea is that usually it's someone from the Hechsher that separates the Trumas and Maizras.
Yeah.
But in theory, the person who's dealing with the produce, who owns the produce, could do it himself, and the Hashgacha just watches.
Yeah, right.
To make sure that it's done properly. There's a story that there's someone in the Soloveitchik family who makes wine at home. So he got a, because, you know, everybody used to trust him. You know, he was a Soloveitchik, whatever, very, very religious. But eventually he started, and he used to come. Looked very shady. If you was this transition happened when I was in yeshiva in Israel, or when I got back to visit. Before, it was just basically blank bottles. They had no label. It was regular glass bottles. And so eventually he decided he was going to make it a little more professional. So he started slapping a label on the bottles. So once he started slapping a label on the bottles, so you need a hechsher. He's just going to just say Soloveitchik wine, even though most people just bought from him privately. They knew that he was very religious, so they didn't have any problem with it.
Okay.
So he got the badatz of the Eid HaRedis to give him a hechsher, which I would imagine was not too difficult, considering he was the only one making the wine, and everything was fine before, whatever.
Right.
So one year, the badatz, when they first started giving him hechsher, so they showed up. The mashgiach from the badatz showed up at his little home winery. And he said, okay, we've come to meister your wine. It's time to separate the trumas and maestras. So he says, no way. It's my wine. I'm meistering it myself. Mitzvah bo yotzer mibishlucho. So they watched while he meistered the wine. So that's also good. But it has to belong. Either the hechsher has to have shlichus, has to be designated an agent from the person who owns the stuff, or they cannot separate Trumas and Maizras. You have to rely on the Svara that it's not analogous to Demai if you had to produce with a Hechsher, because a communal board is supervising the Trumas and Maizras, and you're not relying on another individual to do so.
In other words, essentially saying that the Demai was basically, you know, Gezeira Rabbanan,
right,
in order to say that unreliable people should not be relied on.
Correct.
So you were saying we have now
a system.
Yeah, you're right. A Shkocha, which is now right.
There's some precedent for it. The Rav Yoshev quoted based. There was some Maisa where there was some marketplace where they appointed a couple Talmidei Chachamim to be in charge of separating the Trumas and Maizras. So it sounds like if you have an official institution where you have people who are responsible for supervising it, then it's okay. But like I said, so this is this is what most people again rely on. It's this is the minhag, but all the poskim say that either because of the issues with the technical nemanos or because it's difficult to make sure that all the trumas and maizras are really separated properly on such a large scale, that a lot of the poskim, as far as I know, all poskim really recommend for that a conscientious person, if possible, should try to separate their own Trumas and Maizras. But again, most people, even though this is what the postgame say, again, the vast majority of people who live in Israel do not separate their own Trumas and Maizras, and they rely on the Hechsher, but there are some people who do separate their own Trumas and Maizras, and I would just say that there are some crazy chumras in the yeshivish world, but this is one of the less crazy ones to do. Not saying you have to do it.
Just now, one question. It seemed to me that you told me the industrial scale or something like that. It seemed to me that, in fact, that would work in the favor of doing it properly, because if you have, like, let's say you go ahead and you buy a bunch of fruit or something like that. Unless you're going to weigh it, you're going to figure out how to, if you're talking about, like, a harvest comes in, the farmer knows down to the nearest kilo or whatever how much it weighs. Right? And he asked him,
Right, but
the volume of it, whatever it might be. Whichever it is, though, it seemed to me that, again, in a current proposition, they're more likely to know exactly how much is in a given lot.
Right, but you don't even need that, because, again, especially if you're separating Truma Gedola also, so you don't need to take exactly 1%. You take a little more than 1%, and whatever's left over from the 1% is going to be Truma Gedola. And then the other Maestros, you're not actually separating for the most part. If it's not Tevel Vada, you're just calling the name. You're right. Saying this part is Maestro Rishon, this part is Maestro Sheni. Mm-hmm. So for that, you know, you don't need to separate the exact amount. You just say Maestro Rishon is at the top, Maestro Sheni is at the bottom.
Right.
So the amounts are deducted automatically.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds like now nobody sorts their own meat at home.
That's not true. I mean, in America, it's very rare.
A few times.
What?
But this is
that the old days, you know, when you went basic. But you know,
you salted really? You're the
old days, because they, you know, it was because the butchers basically the butchers didn't want to be bothered with it, and also they figured that, you know, they make more money off it because they're selling you more of the weight, you know, if it's unsold.
That's true. They can raise the price for the
deer. Well, all right, but you know, this is the sort of why they have the chickens with the heads and the feet too, you know, sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
not because people
hairy chickens, right? Okay. Anyway. So the thing is, so you'd have to say that we are relying upon, just some kind of analogy mm-hmm. here. We, and that's obviously, this is a major, you know, derisa here, right? You know, the dumb, you know. We are relying upon the hashkacha and the, you know, whatever it was, to go ahead and take care of, say, the salting,
mm-hmm.
which I don't ever heard of anybody taking something, buying a piece of meat, which is soaked and salted, and then deciding to salt, he's hooked and salted himself just to make sure.
You've never heard of it, but it definitely exists. In America, first of all, deraisa is derabanan, although your haora is very good. That dam is deraisa, shchita is deraisa, mm-hmm. and trumas and maestras nowadays, pashtas maybe, mm-hmm. are only derabanan. Nevertheless, we have the institution of demai officially, where Chazal removed the edech on Eman Bisurin from trumas and maestras. They had in mind that the trumas and maestras should be separated with as much diktuk as possible. Again, he's going to go into a little bit more about that later, but for some reason we have this stream of thought in Chazal that we should be extra careful about Trumas and Maestros more than other mitzvahs. But besides that fact, that's not true. There are people, especially in Eretz Yisrael, you have, there are people who are very on a very high spiritual level, hopefully about Bein Adam Lakom and Bein Adam Lachaber and all the mitzvahs, and not just about this. And they don't want to rely on an industrial scale for anything. They will go, when they go take meat, they will either buy, you know, only from a private shochet that they trust explicitly, or they'll go to the slaughterhouse and they'll watch the shechita and they'll do the malicha at home. Again, this is much more common in Eretz Yisrael than here. There are some people who get from private meat, the chabur, as it's called, in America too, is my understanding. I don't think I've ever met anyone like that, but, in Eretz Yisrael, it's more common. It's just not that they have any halachic issue per se with what the slaughterhouses are doing. It's just that it's known that when things are done on a large industrial scale, this quality control suffers, and there could be things that slip through the cracks again. If you just imagine the way a shechita is done differently now than in the olden days. So in the olden days, it was a town shochet. There weren't that many people living here. You know, my grandmother, Alei HaShalom, told me that, you know, they raised chickens in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes they would bond with the chickens. That would be a little traumatic when they would, their mother told them, you know, on a Friday, go take the chicken to the shochet. Okay. But they had to do it. So the shochet could look at the chicken, see, assess its health, you know, took his time, shechted, or an animal. You know, how many animals they shechted already? Once a week even? I don't know. Yeah. They shechted the animal. Slowly they do the nikor, they take everything out, the chaylev and the gida nosha and all these things. This was the gavur meat, slowly, carefully, and they mamish took their time. But nowadays, one animal after the other, after the other, after the other. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying they're doing anything bad. Al pi halacha chas v'shalom. It's just it's a
however, right. It should be pointed out that there's a digression already.
Yeah.
Which is that the downside, okay, of the nice village shochet, was there was a great financial loss if any one behemoth was declared to be treif. So, you know,
had
lots and lots of, you know, before the glot business, you had lots and lots and lots of, you know, heterum, the chat, you know, thing. They would bend over backwards. Also, like some poor woman brings in a chicken and then, pops out of the room. Nobody's ever done that to you, right? Nobody's put a bloody chicken on your desk, right? Okay.
Yeah.
This where there was actually, you know, there's a lot of pressure.
Right.
You know, legitimate pressure, shall we say, to try to make, you know, to be makel, you know.
Yeah.
So
in a kinami, but that's true.
Nowadays, they just say, "Oh, it looks funny. Put it over on the straight line." You know?
You're right. That's certainly true. But there are people who want both. They say that if you're sufficiently, I mean, they want the shochet to be a big yirei shemayim. So if they're sitting in the They want the show. So if they're watching it themselves, they're saying, there's not relying on the shochet himself. I want to eat this. You have the huge rabbi in Israel who wants to supervise his own meat production. So he's saying, I'm going to eat this. So I'm not going to, I don't want to rely on any kulas. I'm going to throw it out if it's there's a shayla. There's this phenomenon nowadays that is based on the idea from matzah, that the Rosh already says that when you're, for your matzah for Pesach, you're supposed to bake it yourself, if at all possible, and take part in the actual baking and supervise, and you know, so it's a hit or mitzvah of matzah. So that's called nowadays colloquially chabura matzah, when you go to the bakery yourself and you take part of the baking yourself.
Oh, when you
yourself.
Go to the bakery.
Yeah.
Rabbi Schwartz.
At home, no, we don't. You
don't
need
try this at home.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, you could bake matzah at home if you have a proper oven, but you can't. It's difficult to bake matzah properly in a.
Burn down your apartment building.
Yeah, so this idea of chabura has now been applied to other areas of halacha as well. People want chabura meat. People want chabura tzitzis. They may go and make their own tzitzis. The idea is you don't want to rely on the industrial scale. You want to supervise that everything is done slowly and carefully with proper attention. Also, if you'll just something in my experience, think about gittin nowadays. Gittin nowadays. Chas v'shalom, we don't motzi laz on gittin. That's not what I'm... Chas v'shalom, habat pialoch, everything's proper. But just think about the difference of how gittin were done in the olden days and how they're done today. In the olden days, how many gittin were there? A couple a year, maybe, in a town?
Please, I remember.
Okay, but Seder. But in a large Jewish community of hundreds of years ago, how many gittin? A couple a year? So they would take the sofer. The sofer would write, it would take him, an hour and a half to write the get. The rabbi would read it very carefully before, very carefully after. The witnesses, you know, would be paid, compensated for spending so much time sitting there with the sofer while he's writing the get. They would mamish read it letter by letter, making sure everything is correct. And, they gather a lot of time. It says in Shulchan Aruch that he endorses the practice to have a minyan present when you give over a get, which we don't do anymore nowadays at all. So,
a minyan? Is some kedusha involved?
No, not kedusha, just to be mafarsim, people what's going on, publicize more of these people are getting divorced. It's okay, we don't do that anymore. But gittin nowadays are allotted 1 hour appointments for the whole process, basically. So the sofer now is the main sofer in the New York area has 18,000 gittin under his belt.
What?
So in the last 30 years, however long he's been doing it. There's 18,000 gittin. He writes a get in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, the people in a rush to get back to work. Write quickly before, write quickly after, witness the sign, delivers. The get is good. I'm not saying chas v'shalom otherwise, but it's a different mindset and a different system from how it was done, again, in the olden days, that everything was done slowly and carefully with the proper attention.
I should point out.
Okay, zog da'ilig sefer achinuch back inside. V'noeg yisr zeh shel tevel b'chol Yisrael, where mitzvah resh pei dalet. V'noi Yisrael zeh shel tevel b'chol Yisrael. The prohibition of eating unmeistered produce is in the entire Jewish people. B'zecharim u'nekevos, the males and females, afilu b'kohanim u'levim. It applies also to kohanim and levim. Alfa b'shem ochlin atrumos. Like we said before, the Kohen's allowed to have his produce. Let's say there's a delicious, he has an apple harvest, something that you can eat right away. So he takes the apples, he takes one apple out, Harizo Truma, he's allowed to bite into right away, but he's not allowed to eat the tevel. He's not allowed to eat the apples, any of the apples, before he separated out the Truma. Again,
he, in fact, is the recipient of the...
Right. You're still not allowed to eat tevel. You cannot eat from produce that where the Trumas and Maestros were not separated. What do you mean? You mean if you ate the tevel before and then you separate afterwards?
Right.
No, Konami? Yeah. Vafilu b'dagon shelhem, even if they own the produce and they're growing the produce, they still have to separate Trumas Maestros before they eat the tevel. B'chei noego iser b'chol makom. The prohibition to eat tevel applies in all places. Oh, this is going to get a little sticky in a moment. Kilomar she'osur lechol ha'tevel shelperus Eretz Yisrael b'chol makom. You're not allowed to eat tevel from produce of Eretz Yisrael in any place. That's why if you buy carrots, for example, from Eretz Yisrael, they're sold here in New York, you have to miser them. Okay, but this is actually not 100% pashut. The Mishnah in the beginning, the second parak of Challah, beginning of the second parak, says that produce that was exported from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is exempt from Challah. From Challah. That if you make dough in Eretz Yisrael and you separate it out and you export it to Chutz La'aretz, it's exempt from Challah on a Deraisa level. Okay, you still have to separate the Challah's Chutz La'aretz. Okay, you still have to separate Challah Maisa. So the Rambam's Girsa of the Mishnah over there is pturim min hachala u min hatrumos u min hamasros. That produce is not limited to chala. That produce that was shipped out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz is exempt from the requirement to separate trumos u maasros. So what on earth is the pshat? And that's what he says in the Yad HaChazaka, in the Mishnah Torah, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch with this lashon as well, that peros Eretz Yisrael sheyotzu Chutz La'aretz pturim min hatrumos u maasros. So what does that mean? So some people, well, again, remember, it's dependent on the girsa. Not everybody has the girsa Maseches Chal in the first place. But if you have that girsa, so a lot of poskim explain that, according to the Rambam, and quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as well, there's some exemption that if produce leaves Eretz Yisrael, you no longer have to miser it. There's the prohibition of Tevel flies away on the plane once the ship, whatever it is, once it leaves Eretz Yisrael, yeah?
Once it leaves Eretz Yisrael, then the whole purpose of truth might just giving it to the Levium and the congregation.
You can give it to a Levium in Chutz La'aretz. Why not?
All right. I
we have Levium in Chutz La'aretz,
okay,
right?
Okay, all right.
Any produce, yeah. So a lot of poskim say, first of all, like I said, not everybody has a girsa in Maseches Challah. Second of all, a lot of poskim say, come on, that doesn't make any sense. How could that be? Think about it. The produce, like, how could the Rambam say it just disappears? If the produce was already nischayev in Trumas Umaisros, when it had what's called gemar melacha or meruach, which you need for the prohibition of tevel to sink in and the requirement to separate Trumas Umaisros to start, you have to have the completion of the production of this thing. Like when you bring the grain in from the harvest and you make it into nice piles, so that's called meruach, and then you have to separate the Trumas Umaisros. But before that, you're allowed to eat arai. You're allowed to just take a little snack from the raw, whatever, wheat kernels, if you so desire. And that's that. So a lot of commentators on the Rambam say, the Rambam doesn't really mean that it's completely exempt. The Rambam means, let's say you have dirty carrots that were plucked right out of the field in Eretz Yisrael, and they were shipped out to Chutz La'aretz. And then they were cleaned and washed and, you know, put into nice piles and had gmar melacha in Chutz La'aretz. That's what the Rambam means, that you don't have to separate Trumas Umaisris, because the gmar melacha, where the chiyuv hafrashas Trumas Umaisris would kick in, happened in Chutz La'aretz. So you don't go by where the produce grew, you go by where it had gmar melacha, where the production was finished. So therefore, the produce that's normally exported from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz had Gemar Malacha already in Eretz Yisrael. So it had the requirement for Hafrashas Trumas Umaisros already sink in. So when it's exported to Chutz La'aretz, you still have to miser it because the requirement already sank in. So therefore, it doesn't just disappear when it leaves the Chutz La'aretz. You still have to miser it in Chutz La'aretz. That's the accepted psak. That things that had gemar malacha, which is the majority of produce that they had gemar malacha in Eretz Yisrael, beastly as actually already okay. But if you have produce that you happen to find here in America from Eretz Yisrael and it does not have a reliable hechsher, then you do have to separate Trumas Umaisros yourself. Yeah.
How could Rambam possibly have thought that, you know, anything being exported over a long distance, you know, would not have had Gemar Malacha in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, it could be to a close place. What if you put them on a ship to Egypt or to Cyprus? About Cyprus, right. It could get to Cyprus.
But I'm trying conceptually here. You go ahead and you've got a whole bunch of produce. You know, you put it on a ship. Never mind washing. So the Gemar Malacha means essentially you go ahead, you put it together in some pile, and you have to do that in order to put it on the ship.
In theory, it's possible.
I can't see how that would be.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because the example is too radical for the halacha that.
What about wine, for example? So there's if you were shipping out, if you have these grapes, and again, this is also a shaila as to whether you, the chiyuv would set in already, but let's say you have grapes and you have an intention to make wine with them, so you just take the bunches of grapes with the stem still attached and you ship them out to Chutz Laretz. No, and you have a mind to make the wine in Chutz Laretz.
Say the Rambam had a different girsa, which actually held, in fact, that, you know, that this was the case. I mean,
so you want to say for practical, technical reasons, so, yeah, so a lot of, like I said, many commentators on the Rambam do say that, according to the Rambam, there is a magical thing that happens when any produce leaves Eretz Yisrael, right, that it no longer...
The chiyuv disappears. There is a chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
In fact, when it goes for export, all of a it's like a tax, shall we say, that is not collected if you decide you're going to export it. Yeah,
so
like,
even though the Shulchan Aruch does quote the Rambam verbatim, since it's a shaila as to what the Rambam means, and many poskim... Most poskim perhaps disagree with the Rambam that if it had Gemar Malacha and Eretz Yisrael, you do have to separate Chumash Maaseres and Chutz Laretz. So therefore, the accepted psak is that you do have to separate Chumash Maaseres from produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael, even if it reached Chutz Laretz. But nevertheless, if there's some doubt or to be mitzarefit to Sveikis or something. So there is this the simple pasha reading of the Rambam, if you didn't have these commentators discussing him, is indeed like Charlie wants to say, that the Rambam holds that any produce that leaves Eretz Yisrael is exempt from the prohibition of Trumas, and exempt from Tevel, and you do not have to separate Trumas and Maisers. But again, the accepted psak is that you do have to separate Trumas and Maisers. But you might want to rely on this. Let's say, ordinarily, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're makpid to separate your own Trumas and Maisers. Like we were talking about before, that a lot of people, that there's a tzad that of chumrah that maybe you need to separate your own chumrah, so you can't rely on that, sure. But I think in Chutz Laretz, that's a little extreme. Since, again, you have the sheet of the Rambam also, that maybe, what might be a sheet of the Rambam, probably a sheet of the Rambam, that it's exempt anyway. So to rely, and also many sheetahs hold that demai does not apply in Chutz Laretz, even if it applies in Eretz Yisrael to these produce. So I think that... you know, if you want to be a super brisker and you want to miser all this stuff here in America, that can't, I only met two people. I only know two people who actually do this, that they miser everything in Chutz Laretz that is made in Eretz Yisrael because of, again, this chashash of demai. But that's a big chumrah. I think that's too much.
So practically speaking, then, when you buy, for example, like they have these persimmons or something like that,
yeah,
you can get it there. I mean, how do you... You know, you don't have a hashkacha sitting on there. Is there any way that you know?
You have to miser it. Miser it.
All right.
If it comes to Chutz Laretz, unless it has a reliable hashkacha, you have to miser it. Although fruit is worse because fruit is a shayla of orla also. So your wife actually once gave me a list that she found online of what fruits can be assumed not to be orla, even if they're from Eretz Yisrael. Because here in Chutz Laretz, we don't have to worry about orla because Suffolk orla is mutter. If there's any doubt as to whether it's orla or not, so you're allowed to eat it. But if it comes from Eretz Yisrael, the fruits from Eretz Yisrael, then the Suffolk Orla doesn't work. Yeah? You have to be 100% sure that it's not Orla, or at least, according to many poskim, there's a rove or something, that there's a reasonable assumption is that it's not Orla, then you are allowed to eat it. But in general, we do not recommend, again, unless it has a reliable hechsher, we do not recommend l'chatchila buying fruit from Eretz Yisrael unless it's for sure not Orla.
So what do people do in Eretz Yisrael? They go to Yehuda Market.
Yeah.
And they buy fruit there.
Well, they have hashkachas. The stalls in Machane Yehuda Market have their own hashkachas. Some are, you can have your pick of hechsherim. Some are Rav Efrati, some are Rabbanut, some are Eda Charedes, some are this hechsher, that hechsher. You have your pick of, and it's the here in America, we really have a luxury that we just go fruit shopping in any store that we want without being worried about kashrus. Really, but in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very careful about your kashrus for produce, even. Yeah, especially about fruits. I mean, for vegetables, you could for sure, except if it's not a Shemitah year, so you could for sure buy vegetables from any store. There's no problem at all. You just have to miser yourself if you don't.
You have to notice.
You've noticed that hechsher is questionable?
No, that it's from Israel.
If you're in Israel, if you live in Israel, you can buy vegetables, if it's not a Shemitah issue, so you can buy vegetables in any store and miser them yourself. It's not a problem at all. But fruit is, again, you have the problem of Orla, so you do have to make sure that your fruits that you buy have a reliable hechsher, again, on Orla. Mm-hmm. Some people, even if it has a reliable hechsher, miser again afterwards, as we've been discussing. But for Orla, for sure, it needs to have hechsher. There's no way of fixing that. Trumas and Maaseres, you can always fix yourself. Orla, if it's Orla, there's nothing you can do about it. And with the procedure we discussed last time, it's really not that difficult. You just need to have The only equipment you need to have is a coin to be Poda the Meister Sheni. And that's basically it. You just separate slightly more than 1% of the produce. You put it aside. You say the nusach that it says in whatever sitter you happen to be using. It's very easy.
And then very, what very do you easy. Do with the produce?
Well, the little more than 1% that you actually physically separated, you have to throw out. You wrap up respectfully and you throw it out or burn it. And the rest of the produce you can eat. You can just go ahead and eat.
And obviously, you can take a slice off one piece of fruit.
So correct. That's correct. One yes. Whole, you know, fruit, right? Yeah, we used to do that in yeshiva all the time. People, I remember the person who was responsible for meistering used to count. You know, the yeshiva ordered 20 apples, so you need to just cut a little slice of the apples. So there's always, you know, when they put out fruit, there's always one with a slice missing, unless they ordered 100. You know, whatever.
Do you combine all of the vegetables together, or just like
each type has to be separate, measured separately? Yeah. Fine. Kiloma. Okay. Aval chiyuv truma sumaisrus min haperus yaduahu shelo chiyavasnu hatorah bahen ella beretz Yisrael uvizman sheYisrael sham. So the midoraisa, the only place where you have to separate the. Not the only place. The only produce from which you have to separate Trumas and Maestris is produce that's from, or had its Gemar Malacha, perhaps, in Eretz Yisrael, in the time that most of the Jews, that the Iker Yishuv of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to keep, it's pretty close now, the Jewish population of Eretz Yisrael versus Putzaret. Mm-hmm. So people have been saying that any day now, then we will the requirement for Trumas U'Maisros Nechala and Eretz Yisrael will revert back to being the Oraisa, whereas now it's only the Rabbanan according to the Rambam that we really paskin like. But there are many Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, and those Rishonim say that the requirement for Trumas U'Maisros in Eretz Yisrael is the Oraisa even nowadays. So the fact that he says that it's only the produce of Eretz Yisrael has to have Trumas U'Maisrus separated from it is a little bit of a discussion as well. Sorry. The Chazal also required, it says in the official Halachic Svarim, as quoted in the Rambam, that Chazal also required separating Trumas U'Maisrus midirabbanan, this everyone agrees is the Rabbanan, from the lands that surround Eretz Yisrael. So parts of Egypt, parts of Jordan, parts of what's now Syria, are all required, parts of Babylonia that had a heavy Jewish settlement, Chazal required one to separate Trumas U'Maisrus because it's so close to Eretz Yisrael. They wanted the people, nowadays everywhere is close to Eretz Yisrael. It's easier to get from America to Eretz Yisrael than it is to get from Iraq to Eretz Yisrael, but even though it's much closer physically. But in the olden days, you know, there are people traveling back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to these close countries where there were large Jewish communities, and Chazal didn't want people to get confused, so they required these places one to separate Trumas U'Maisrus from the produce there. So,
So in other words, it makes sense if you're going to talk about it being, shall we say, something which borders on Eretz Yisrael. Because where's the border? You know, it's a subject. But you're talking about like Babylonia, you know, Babylon. That's very far removed. There's no border. You know, there's no question about
it's
that.
Northern Iraq to Israel is actually a very close distance.
Mm-hmm.
Except where Chazal, you know, in Babylon, you know, like
nevertheless, since it was pretty close to Israel, and that was the main Jewish community outside Eretz Israel, so they saw fit to establish Trumas U'Maisrus there as well. So the question is, there were Jewish communities there until very recently. Did we ever hear of anyone separating Trumas U'Maisrus there? No. They never, people did not say, the minhag of the Jewish community there was not to separate Trumas U'Maisrus. So the question is, why? So people give various terutzim to why this was the case. So some say it's because there was, it's similar to the case that we know from the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that originally
oil.
Yeah. So Chazal had a gzera that you had to have Shemen Yisrael. Mm-hmm. You have to have olive oil that was produced by Jews or Jewish supervision. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to buy olive oil stam from the Goyim. And then it was canceled, nullified. That this proved too difficult, so therefore this decree was nullified. So the same thing might have happened later on, that there were so many Jews who moved there and it was too difficult for them that it was much too difficult to withstand this takana, so therefore it was later rescinded. Others say that it's because it had to do with only eating chulin betara. Others say that it was only dogon tirosh v'yitzar, was only grain, grapes, and olives, which is what's chayav and shumos v'maisus d'oraisa, maybe at least in certain times in Eretz Yisrael, that the gzera was in chutzaretz, but they didn't even separate that. So again, the minhag was that they did not separate shumos v'maisus, even though it's recorded in the official halachic svarim that you do have to separate shumos v'maisus in these areas. Nevertheless, it was not the minhag. There is an interesting, very, very, very minority shita that if a Jew owns land in Chutz Laaretz, you have to separate Trumos and Maestros. There have been scattered recordings in Jewish history of people who, almost all the Rishonim who, in theory, said such a shita, said, but this isn't the minhag. Nobody separates Trumos and Maestros in Chutz Laaretz completely, you know, in Europe or wherever. But there have been, so they struggle to understand why. They say maybe it's because of eminent domain, that the king could come, you know, take your land at any time, so therefore you don't really, really own it. So they different theories.
You know, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't really, really own it either. You have the thing the Yovel, and you have the, you know.
Nevertheless, Jew, when he owns land in Eretz Yisrael.
The Jewish National Fund really owns it now, right? Okay.
So, but there have been scattered reportings. Some say in the name of the Gra, although it's a little bit not so clear that it should be so reliable. And some Rishonim here and there that they bought a field and they separated Trumas and Maestros from their field because they felt that Jewish-owned produce in Chutz Laaretz was Chayev in Trumas Umaestros. So it's, again, most Jews don't own farms. So nowadays, L'chuli Alma L'chatchila, everyone agrees that most
farms down in New
Jersey. Right, all these chicken, you have the mice or chicken. but again, once in a while, you do find that, or maybe people, they just thought that wasn't required, but it was some sort of midas chasidus, some sort of extra pious practice that's not required at all to observe Shumas and Maestros and Chutz Laaretz. But again, we never heard of this. We hold that, again, also this in the surrounding areas of Eretz Yisrael, even only be in Jewish-owned fields. It wouldn't be in Goyish produce. So again, we never heard of separating Shumas and Maestros anywhere but in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the minhag nowadays. And again, the vast majority of things in Chutz Laaretz is Goyish-owned produce, so it would not be a problem, even according to this minority shiva, minority shita. But even if there were some Jewish farmer, we never heard of anyone separating Shumas and Maestros from the produce. Okay. Shenemar b'truma ki savo, then you will come. V'darshu zichron el bracha bias kulchem v'lo bias miktzaschem. You all have to be living in Eretz Yisrael, or the majority of you, and not just some people who choose to make their home in Eretz Yisrael. Kein pasak Rambam zichron el bracha. That's the way the Rambam paskin, but there are other Rishonim that disagree, and they hold that even if only a minority of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, the requirement of truas u'maisras there would be the araisa. Lefikach einus or hatevel midaraisa alo the peres Eretz Yisrael v'dogon tirosh v'yitzar dafka, that the trumas u'maisras the araisa only must be separated from grain, olives, and grapes. And some hold even more than that, that if you grow olives and grapes with the intention of eating the fruit, it's not chayev in trumas u'maisras midaraisa. It's only chayev and shumas maestros midaraisa if you either make it into wine or you have intention that these are going to be wine grapes. But most people hold not like that; they hold that it's all any grapes and olives and grain are chayev and shumas maestros. And the Rambam adds tree fruit. Rambam holds that the only things that are exempt from shumas maestros midaraisa are like vegetables. But again, the majority sheet of the Rishonim is that Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzar is Deraisa, and the other stuff is Derabanan. Okay, so we're going to get there. We get the Sefer Bamidbar, so we're going to get there. So again, so we talked about the halachos of the lands that surround Eretz Yisrael. So they have certain restrictions of Shemitah that apply there, just like they have Trumas u'Maisros, at least in theory, that apply in the lands around Eretz Yisrael. And people know the borders of Eretz Yisrael. What about Eilat? Oh, yeah. Is a lot in Eretz Yisrael? No. Nope. Elat is not really in Eretz Yisrael. It may be part of Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes, and we have you know, what it says in the original, the boundaries are supposed to be from the Euphrates River to the Nile River. But Lamaisa, where we go by what's considered really Eretz Yisrael nowadays, is what's called the Kibush of Ole Bavel. Mm-hmm. That's the Eretz Yisrael that was reconquered by the Jews returning from exile in Babylonia, which is a much smaller area. And Eilat is not included. So again, maybe one day it will be included, but in the meantime, Eilat is not part of Eretz Yisrael, which is why a lot of people are not allowed to go to Eilat.
Not allowed to go there?
Yeah. What? If you go visit Israel, you're going to Israel, and you want to take a day or two, a stam vacation to relax in Eilat, you're not allowed to do that.
Why not?
Because you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's the answer. But you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. There are heterim to leave Eretz Yisrael for, you know, to get married or if you need to earn a living. So there are heterim to leave Eretz Yisrael. But I'm saying, if you're, and my point is that if you're vacationing in Eretz Yisrael proper,
yeah.
Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim, any type of those places, so Lahavdil, Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim. Okay, yeah. But if you're the questionable. My whole point is the questionable if you're allowed to stam pick up and go take off for a couple of days and go to Eilat just stam because that does not have the din of Eretz Yisrael. It's considered Chutz Laaretz. So maybe there are heterim. I'm not saying that for sure or not. I'm just saying that it's somewhat questionable. It's also questionable, by the way, if you live in Eilat, how many days Yontif do you keep?
How many?
A lot of poskim hold, you're supposed to keep 2 days Yontif in Eilat, but that's not the minag. There are not that many from Jews who live permanently in Eilat. But the observant Jews live in Eilat generally keep 1 day. And when I talk about later in the mitzvahs to actually talk about the requirement to separate Trumas and Maestras, Shah Machlokas Hamafarshim, Binyan Truma, Mimi Doris, Rabbano, Yama Filu Baritz. Again, we discussed this, whether it's Doris, Rabbano, Mi Shehu Bimakom Shahayya Mesupakalav, Imu Meretz Yisrael. If you're not sure whether the place you are is really part of Meretz Yisrael, Bizman Shaharitz Bi Yeshuva, Rulachmir Badavar Al Kapanim. If you have a situation where most people live in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to go stringently. You have to assume that the place is in Eretz Yisrael. Lefisha zehu sveiki daraisa v'kaiman sveiki daraisa l'chumra. When you have a doubt regarding a biblical prohibition, you have to go l'chumra. Umina dome, but nowadays, that according to the Chinuch and the Rambam, Trumas Maestras is only derabanan, even in Eretz Yisrael, so you wouldn't necessarily have to separate Trumas Maestras, an area that you're not sure whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or not, because it'd be sveik derabanan l'kula. Of course, you could also argue that it's a Sfek Sfeika L'chumra, because maybe Trumas Maestras nowadays is Deraisa, and maybe this place is in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe you should be Machmir, okay. But he's assuming for sure that it's not Deraisa, so he wouldn't have that Cheshbon. Umin Adome, because we're not 100% sure the Rambam's right, although we normally conduct ourselves that way. Umin Adome, Shechachomim Zichronon Levracha, Yom Machmirin Afilo Beperos Shechiyuv Amaisro Shalem Derabonon. Even though this might be the technical case, like he said before, that you could go leniently, he doesn't mean literally that it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, but normally the presence of the Beis HaMikdash is associated with most people living in Eretz Yisrael. So you have a story in the Gemara, a famous story in Maseches Chulin on Daf Vav, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was in Beit Sha'an. Mm-hmm. You know where Beit Sha'an is? It's right over the top of the Shomron, what we call the West Bank. It's one of the, you know, first, if you drive straight through the West Bank and you get through over the Green Line again and back into, you know, pre-1967 Israel, then one of the first places that you get is Beit Sha'an. So Rebbe came to Beit Sha'an and someone said to him, an old man said to him, I personally witnessed your Rebbe, your teacher, Reb Meir, eat a vegetable here without separating Trumas and Maestras. So Rebbe said, oh, if that's the case, then we don't have to separate Trumas and Maestras to Beit Sha'an. It's not really part of Eretz Yisrael. That was conquered by the Jews coming, returning from exile in Babylonia. So the Gemara says, what? How could he do that? The minhag there was to separate Trumas and Maestras for such a long time, and all of a sudden he says, nope, you know, enjoy your produce, everyone, without Trumas and Maestras. That's, you know, that's ordinarily a violation of the rule. They're not allowed to issue a psak that's totally stuns people. The Gemara says, well, yeah, maybe. Again, it's a balance, you know, the different values at play here. But it says, sometimes room is left to a Talmid Chacham in a later generation to distinguish himself and to issue a correct ruling in a later generation, even if it's different from what people used to do. So again, we have two different forces. There's a power of Minag and tradition on the other hand. On the other hand, there is some independence of the Chachamim in every generation, the Paskin Halacha, according to their best understanding. So nevertheless, in previous generations, you see, they weren't 100% sure whether Beit Sha'an was really an Eretz Israel or not. Nevertheless, they used to separate Trumas and Maestros even from vegetables, which are for sure only the Rabbanan. So you see that there's a trend in the thinking of Chazal to be very stringent about making sure your Trumas and Maestros are separated properly. Why exactly is a subject perhaps for a drosha sometime when we get to those parshas. But again, that's even though, Pete, you pointed out before, that we rely a lot more people perhaps separate their own Maeser than who do their own Malicha, even though Malicha is arguably a more severe prohibition. But there's this trend of thinking in the poskim and Chazal that we should be extra, extra careful for ourselves to separate Trumas and Maesers properly. Mm-hmm. Okay. The overall, it's a sign perhaps of the Jewish population, the Jewish presence in Eretz Israel being in its proper state, where most people live there and we give the matanas to the Kohanim. So maybe it's in order to, we can expand on this, maybe like I said, Nedrosha, but in order to reminisce and keep in mind the correct way the Jewish society is supposed to function, we're supposed to be extra nizar about keeping the memory of the correct way to do Trumas Maestros alive. If you ate the kezayis from tevel before the truma gedola, or before the trumas meiser was separated, you have misa b'dei shemayim, your death at the hands of heaven, will shemayim l'malo. If you didn't take, if you separated those true but not the other rest of the meiseris, you get the penalty of lashes if anything has not yet, any one matana that's supposed to be given has not yet been separated from this produce. If it's rabbinic tevel, according to the chinuch, again, everything nowadays is only the rabbanan, but even in a time where most people live in Eretz Yisrael, so certainly vegetables, and according to some, even fruits, besides grapes and olives, would not be chayiv in Trumas Maestros. Kiyon kol shar peros chutz midagan tir shvitzar, afilu bizman shiyisrael ba'aretz, so if you eat tevel, that's derabanan, then you get makas mardos. So what if you eat the rabbinical ashes? What if you eat demai? There's no makas mardos because there are certain situations where you're allowed to eat demai. We pointed out last time that you're allowed to feed poor people demai, or guests. You're especially from out of town, you're allowed to feed the demai. So they're allowed to eat it. So we're not going to punish you for eating it, even though you're really supposed to miser it yourself. And especially, you know, you could become an ani at any time. You could go in front of a bezdin and say, you know, that you... Yeah, you say, I declare all my possessions to be hefker. So then the bezdin's, anybody could come take your... Then you don't own anything, so then you're an ani and you'd be allowed to eat demai. Again, it's a kunst, but you're not really going to do this under normal circumstances, because it's concerned that people are going to, loot you. But in theory, you could become an ani, you could have a heter to eat demai, so therefore there's no punishment per se for consuming demai, even though, again, it's demai is a very unique derabanan, where it has more the appearances of a chumrah than an absolute obligation, even though under normal circumstances you are required to do it. Fine. Umashkin, hayotzen miperos shen tevel asurin kemosan. And juice that was squeezed out of fruits that are tevel are also asurtid, miumikol makom. If you squeeze an orange, let's take the back. Let's say you assuming an orange is required for Trumas Maestros Midoraisa, which is the Shita Sarambam. Not everybody agrees with that. Okay, but let's say you squeeze an orange. Ein chiyuv amalkos ala mashkin ela gufa peres. Even though Midoraisa, you're not allowed to eat to drink the orange juice that was squeezed out of tevel, you don't receive the penalty of lashes because it's like zeya. It's just like sweat that comes out of the fruit. It's not really the fruit, so you wouldn't receive the penalty of lashes. That's about to say. Except for wine and olive oil, right? Which are, you receive the penalty of lashes, they have the exact same status perhaps even more so than the they're more stringent perhaps than the tefillah, than the fruits themselves. Yeah.
Wait, you know, is there a bracha on olive oil?
The Gemara has a whole discussion about what the bracha on olive oil. But maybe you make borei pri ha'itz under certain circumstances. Again, not if you drink it straight, because it's not a normally eaten drunk thing. But if you mix it with like vegetable soup or something, but you really want to drink the oil, so according to the Gemara, it says you make a borei pri ha'itz. Ordinarily, maybe you make a shakol, maybe you don't make any bracha. Okay. But tam lefi adome mipnei shikr and shos and peros the mashkin hula brios. That the ikr tachlis of grapes and olives' existence in this world is to provide us with oil and with wines, therefore has the status of tevel completely. And there is an interesting shita. There is a machlokas again. We have a machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav about what happens about separating Trumas Umaisris from orange juice. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have tevel oranges and you squeeze out juice. Mm-hmm. So what happens? So this juice is tevel, but not you don't get the penalty of Malkus because it's just considered Zeya Ba'alma. It's not really the essence of the orange. Mm-hmm. So the Chazon Ish says, okay, so if you squeeze juice from tevel oranges, so you might as well the juice now. So it still has the prohibition of tevel, even though, you know, it's not the fruit itself. You have to meiser the orange juice, and then you're allowed to drink it. So the Brisker Rav said, no, you can't meiser zeya. You can't meiser just sweat or stuff that just comes out of the fruit, because you can only meiser fruits.
Yeah.
So he said, you have this situation now that's very, you know, hard to deal with, which is that you now have orange juice that is tevel, and there's no way of fixing it. There's no way of fixing it. But the Chazon Ish said that makes no sense. Either it's tevel and you can fix it. There's no such thing as tevel you can't fix. Either it's tevel you can't fix it, or it's mutter to drink. You can't be somewhere in between. The Brisker Rav said, no, you're not allowed to drink orange juice that was squeezed out of tevel oranges. So according to the Brisker Rav, what's the only way you can have kosher orange juice? You have to meiser the oranges first and squeeze it yourself. So based on this, would the Brisker Rav drink orange juice even with a hechsher of Badaseh the Charedis? He says, no. I hold that everything is demai, and I have to separate the Trumas and Maestros myself, but now I have the orange juice. I can't separate it, Mike. I would like to drink the orange juice and separate the Trumas and Maestros myself, but I can't. So therefore, since it's demai, I have no way of drinking orange juice unless I personally meiser the oranges and then squeeze out the juice myself. But again, the accepted halacha is not like the Brisker Rav, and in both circumstances, that we go, the shita of the vast majority of postgame agrees with the Chazon Ish that if you happen to have orange juice that was squeezed from tevel oranges, you are allowed to meiser the juice. But again, everybody agrees that oil and olive oil and wine, one is allowed, and that's the ikar chiyuv of Trumas and Maisers, of the grapes and olives, is to meiser the oil and the wine.